All right, we're going to get started with the April 3rd Finance Committee. First item is the call to order, which has been done. Second is approval of minutes from the January 3rd, 2023 meeting.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman. Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion carries unanimously. Number three is public comments. Is there anyone from the public here that would like to make a comment? Going once, going twice. All right, on to item number four, budget review for FY 2024. For all of those different items, I will turn it over to you, Ms. Godoff.
Yes, good morning. So
good morning.
During this meeting, we'll get a lot of the budget pieces that are not addressed elsewhere. We're going to start with the general government fund revenues. So property and other taxes are up 4.49, are proposed at 49.4 million or 8.6% above the current year. This is an increase. 1.4 million of it is in property taxes and 1.9 million estimated in local option sales tax rollback. Which is calculated based on population and the overall Charleston County collection. Then when it comes in the next section, and I apologize, you're on page 7 of your book. When it comes to the next section, I think you'll notice business license. We have maintained that as flat. The reason for that is that the State Standardization Act requires every odd year that we readdress our business license class schedule. So we are waiting for the state to send us the new class schedules. Okay. And we will be required by December 31st to adopt them. Now, early looks at that, and it's based on IRS data, is showing that we have quite a few business codes, the next codes, that are decreasing. So if you're a rate class one, that's the lower rates. As you go up to rate 7, the rates go higher and your determination of your profitability per the IRS is higher. So as next codes drop, unless we were to increase our rates, we could have less revenue. So we didn't want to predispose town council to making a decision. I mean, we're going to be bringing it to you with a recommendation once we have that. But to be cautious, we kept it flat. So if some go up and you don't choose to raise rates, then we would still be okay. We just didn't want to predispose you. So that's a big ticket item. I did want to point that out. But overall, if you look at without transfers in, just our regular general fund revenue, it's a 5.6% increase. Now, in transfers in, there is a transfer in of stormwater fees. I did want to point out, when town council adopted the new stormwater ordinance amendment, it did include the rates for 10 years and then assumption that the final rate would be thereafter. So I will tell you that current year rates are $61.81 per ERU or equivalent residential unit. That does go up to $79.55. And that's based on the ordinance. So you'll see in non-departmental, the town's costs for its stormwater will increase, as well as the overall stormwater fees that are included on the tax bills. The last item in general fund revenues is the use of fund balance. So we always We always go ahead and estimate an amount that will go per the fund balance policy to our capital projects for infrastructure. And at mid-year, we true that up. So what we've estimated is that 5.9 million, it allows us to go ahead and get projects begun. And then at mid-year, we'll come back and true it up to the actual amount per the calculation in the policy.
Okay.
And that's the general fund. If you have any questions.
You have any questions on revenues?
No, sir.
Okay,
next I'm going to go over to the capital asset fund revenues, and you're going to find those beginning on page 99. So The summary, 198, it shows the summary of the whole capital asset fund expenditures and revenues. Hospitality and local accommodations tax account for 18.4%, and it's got projects such as public safety training facility, Fire Station 7, and part of the renovation for Alhambra Hall. The intergovernmental revenues are 1.8, and that's an anticipation of a federal grant to help us with dredging at Shem Creek and additional greenbelt money coming in for right-of-way purchases. We have charges for services, which is stormwater fees, and that's really for our maintenance and our stormwater projects is how we're using that funding. The other portion of that funding does go to support staff, such as our recent addition a couple years ago of a ditch crew. We also have special assessments. The special assessments are the impact fees that come in, and that those are being used towards the final payment for All American Boulevard and also for our public training the safety facility. Other revenue sources, that's going to be the proceeds at the, when I talk about the debt service fund, I'll talk about a new lease purchase. And as those proceeds come in, they go into our vehicle account so that we can purchase those vehicles. The transfer in from the general fund, that's again the infrastructure fund balance policy, but a lot of our comprehensive maintenance plan projects, our CMP, and our asset replacement plan projects don't have the ability to gain special revenues. So we do use general fund to support those. So that transfer in is infrastructure as well as CMP and asset replacement. And the last piece is we are using some fund balance. So at mid-year, town council approved the true up of the fund balance policy and it sent money over. And we plan to use $4.4 million of that to help with the shrimp plant, our docks and the repair and maintenance there. For this year. So that's kind of the revenues coming in. I touched a little bit on the projects, but it's about the revenues. We do, our first goal is always to use special revenues to the extent we can, and then we kind of backfill it with general fund when we can't use special revenues. Any questions on that?
Okay.
Any questions? Okay.
No, I don't. I have a proposed amendment.
Oh, yes, sir.
I think we're still on revenue, so maybe that's more appropriate. Once we go to expenditures.
Whatever.
Okay. Let's keep going.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
All right. Okay. So now we're going to go to general government expenditures, and that's back on page 11. So that's one of our departments, and in that department, you'll see that overall there's a 2% increase over the current year. It does not include any new positions. There is, coming out of the HR committee from last month, a market adjustment in the procurement division, which was off market by more than 15%. Also, every other year, we have town election cost. We have gotten an estimate of the cost, and it is $90,000. So it is an increase of what we've seen in the last couple elections. But that does pick up the early election as well. The next page back is our contractual services. Line 5 is a net zero study and assessment. And so as we do net zero emission studies and other energy efficiency studies, that is why also in non-departmental under the capital asset fund is $100,000. To start addressing those as they come out, whether it's within an existing capital improvement project or whether it's a comprehensive maintenance, to start looking at how we can become more energy efficient. So under general government, again, that kind of catch-all with non-departmental, there are no direct CIP projects. We do have an increase in fleet maintenance. We are out for bid right now for our fleet maintenance service. It is contractual. And we are reviewing that with the intent to award that in July, June or July. The renewable energy I talked about, the technology replacement is in there. and vehicle replacement. There's a 2011 and 2012 vehicle to be replaced. Any questions for general government?
Mine's a general fund.
All right. Okay. Non-departmental. So non-departmental is on 41. So on page 41, you see our non-departmental. Behind it is a few itemized where you see the shading. You can tell if you see that shading in 24 that we give you a little more detail on the backside. Overall, it's down. Last year did include purchase of property on Coleman. So that's no longer there. We do have economic development money, and the intent is, once again, any money's not used this year would carry over, and that's part of the budget ordinance. And when it carries over, we would also pay our second portion of the incubator program from that amount, so we didn't need to use additional monies for that in 2024. We do have the allocation of community investments, and that's on page 43. So if you look at page 43, based on town council's policy or community investment policy, we, as best we can, rank these, and then we start allocating the funds out. We do limit the increase. If you are number one and you get the funding each year, we don't want you to take it all. So we do limit the growth in that, but we allocate it till we're out. You'll see there how it's proposed that the $100,000 be allocated.
These three at the bottom are not included under the bulleted.
Correct. One is a new one. We weren't sure exactly how to address, so we wanted y'all to know that we did have that request. We had two that we wanted to show that had funding in prior years but did not apply this year. So we wanted you to be aware we have received that at request. It is not recommended at this point in this amount.
Yes, and Mr. Chair, with regard to the Mother Emanuel 9 Memorial, given the scale of the request and the, you know, the sensitivity, it didn't seem to fit within the typical scoring system, you know, that we run all the other applications through. So we left that one outside of the application process with the idea that we would just speak to you about it, you know, through the process.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have a copy of the application from Mother Emanuel Memorial Foundation, and I would like to move that we include that in the budget.
In what amount?
In the amount of $250,000. And that amount is significantly less than the city of Charleston County, as well as North Charleston. It's the same amount as North Charleston.
Okay. For procedural purposes, would this be an amendment to the budget? Like, do we need to move to approve the overall budget and then... No, I'm trying to think of procedural purposes for this.
Either is fine, Mr. Rambo. If it is included, then what we'll do when the budget gets back to budget committee in a couple of weeks, we'll resolve it and move the funds around necessary to fund this request. So you'll get it finalized at budget committee.
Jake, may I ask a question?
Yes.
How much are they asking for? I have not.
They're asking for $250,000.
Okay. And this will go in front of full council as well, right? So it just needs our recommendation.
Right.
And I'm comfortable going ahead, and we have to vote on that by itself, right?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly comfortable moving to approve this for discussion, mm-hmm. for full council to discuss.
Yeah,
I still need to do some more homework on it, but... Mm-hmm. But I think it's something that should go to everybody.
Yeah, I would like to know, like you said, I think this came from you, but, you know, how they have handled funding previously and mm-hmm. kind of look at it from that perspective as well.
I can answer that.
Yes.
Wilbur Johnson, attorney with Young Clement Rivers Law Firm, was brought in back in 2017 to help resolve those issues and has done a fabulous job getting that resolved. But maybe we can invite him to answer your question.
I would love that. That would be super interesting.
And Ms. Corley, yes. I have some information too. Information with regard to funding and also how it got here. They did follow our application process.
Okay.
So they went through the regular process just like every other organization. They were just put separately because of comments I made a few minutes ago. We had followed up to get additional information in terms of who else is funding this request. And it appears as of today, the state of South Carolina, $4 million, city of Charleston, $4 million, Charleston County, $1 million, North Charleston confirmed at $250,000, and some foundations and some private entities, anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million. It appears the total cost to build and maintain is $25 million. And so it does appear to be coalescing as a public-private, regional-type effort.
It's $25 million to build a monument?
It's a memorial. My understanding of it is it's the type of situation you visit, and there's an experience as part of it, which is much different than when we think of, like, our memorials that we build at a park or something. It's, that's why these numbers are being talked about.
Do they have drawings or anything, or concepts, or... No, we're just going on faith. I mean,
no, you know what? Excellent question. We'll reach back out if you're comfortable with this at budget committee.
Yeah.
When sort of all the budgets have come back to one again for consideration, this will be a topic, no doubt. We can get that information. Maybe a short presentation on it at that time would be good if that's acceptable.
And it's like, I know, compared to
250K, it's nothing to sneeze at.
I know. Well, comparatively, though, I mean, $25 million. That's a lot of money. But I'm comfortable voting for this to... When would we do the presentation then? Time-wise, where would that fall?
Oh, gosh, we have anticipated it could move. The budget committee is in...
Before the April committees.
Yeah, so... You mean May committees?
Yes.
I was like, in a couple of weeks, towards the end of this month,
okay,
be the presentation.
So Mr. Chapman, if you want to make a motion.
Yeah, she keeped it.
Oh, I did.
Oh,
he's
did?
Waiting
okay.
for a second.
Oh, sorry.
All right. The motion, I believe, was to... can you say the motion again? I'm sorry.
Well, the motion is to recommend, I guess, to full council, including... $250,000 for the Mother Emanuel IX Memorial.
Okay. Okay. Is there any further discussion on that? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. So that motion passes unanimously.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question about the Wake Up Carolina. I know that they had come before us talking about some funding that they received from the state, and I'm just wondering if we could have a little update on that.
Excellent question. We are working actively with them, coordinating on this. We're receiving just a hair under $300,000.
Okay.
The police department has a plan that will be discussed at PJL,
okay,
which you're a member of.
No.
I
wish, no.
Oh, okay.
No,
forgive me.
A dream of mine that is never
sorry.
I'm sorry. I was the mayor. So, I'm sorry.
Yeah, forgive me. I'm supposed to know those things. It'll be discussed then. We have a plan to incorporate their services into a position that helps with the strings requirements behind the grant fund.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah.
And are you ready for my amendment?
Yes, ma'am.
So, the Charleston Animal Society, I know in the past we have, of course, we all know that we do not handle animal control within the town, thank the universe and thank us, because the expense that would come from that would be incredulous. Millions of dollars would have to go towards that. We all know that the Charleston Animal Society does an amazing job with very little. I had the honor of spending the day with them a couple of months back just because I wanted to volunteer, but they ended up really going into detail about all they do and with what little funds they use. They have something like 92 employees and 2,000 volunteers. It's nuts. The amount of spades, neuters, the education. They have like thousands of kids going by there every summer, learning empathy, learning love for all creatures. It's a beautiful thing to experience. But somehow, I'm not sure politically what happened, but they have lost their funding, their one source of funding. I think that we as a council, I would love to put together a group to figure out how to help them get that funding back. But in the meanwhile, I was able to get them to give me some numbers in regards to how much does it actually cost them to take care of our animal issues. I know that's handled through the police budget as well. But I received something from Joe Elmore, which I've shared with council. And it's basically, they handle about 535 animals from Mount Pleasant. And most of those are rehoming situations due to landlords not allowing a family to have pets. So they end up having to surrender that animal. They end up at the shelter. So the cost of that, he gave us an estimate, and it's $280,000. I know we have budgeted $75,000, but I'm asking us as finance committee to increase that budget by $205,000, putting us at $280,000. I think we all know that the amount that we're saving with them is way more than that. And remember that animal control is also a matter of public safety, and governments that take on that role of handling their animal control, for the most part, do not do a good job of it. They just worry about, you know, controlling the population, a lot of euthanasia. Yeah, I can't pronounce that. They just put a lot of dogs and cats down. And this society goes above and beyond with educating and preventive animal abuse. So
perfect. Can you just do me a favor and restate the numbers? You wanted an increase from what to what?
So we right now in the budget I looked, and there were $75,000 towards the Animal Society. I'm asking that we increase that by $205,000, bringing them to $280,000, which would put us even. We're not given any more or any less. I think that that's the least we could do. I will entertain a motion for more. If you guys think that we should give them more.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
I'll second the motion.
Any more discussion on that? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. And that motion carries unanimously. Ms. Kotoff, I will turn it back over to you to pick up where we left off.
Well, that is the big pieces of the non-departmental. If you have any other questions, otherwise we will move to debt service. Okay, so debt service begins, it's under the tab, debt service, page 94. So in our debt service fund, what we have is our debt service is based on 8.6 mils, or an increase of 4 mils. We do continue to use special revenues and a transfer in from the general fund to support it. Next year, the overall fund will be $21 million on the expenditure side. How's that money going to be spent? There are now 5 general obligation bonds, including the newest. There is one state revolving fund loan that was for Sneak Farm. There are 5 existing LEAPS purchases and 1 new one proposed for 5 years that would get a fire engine, 3 loaders, 2 scows, a lot of our heavy equipment, all of which is replacement.
You might have any questions on that? Okay.
All right. And then state accommodations tax. The state accommodations tax is shown here, the fund. We anticipate $2.9 million. We also plan to use about $1.3 million in fund balance and a grant, a tourism grant. Based on state code, 30% is shown here for the CVB. You see the way that the town events, and then there's money also set aside for the ATAC to make contributions as well. The major projects that we hope to fund are going to be renovation again of Fire Station 7. For any municipality that brings in more than $900,000, you can use it for public safety and public services to support tourism. We also have a renovation, the public training facility and renovations to Humber Hall scheduled for this. New this year, the TURC, or the from state, the Tourism Expenditure Review Committee, also has requested new that the ATAC committee review this budget. So on Wednesday, they are scheduled to review this budget plus their allocations.
Okay. I have questions on the ATAC. Okay, perfect.
All right, if that's good, we would look besides the amendment recommendations, one complete recommendations for the other pieces to go back to the budget committee.
Do I hear a motion?
Second.
All right, any more discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Item number five is discussion and possible action to amend the Dominion Energy Service and Franchise Agreement.
I can take that, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
We do not need an action, but letting you know that we're proceeding with negotiating a new franchise agreement with Dominion. It's that time. And so what you see on the slide above you is our position in the negotiations, and that is to codify in this agreement in some way the tree pruning standards, which have greatly improved. Also, we would like clarification as to the franchise fee and its calculation. We believe the law specifies it needs to be a gross figure, but we need to have more discussions with them, make sure that that is actually how it's being calculated. And we'd like to have agreement from Dominion to utilize their rights of way for Mount Pleasant Way. And then lastly, maintain the non-standard service provision, which we already have, which allows us to do the undergrounding around town.
Yep.
So this is our position. I'm sure they'll be comfortable with some of these. Likely they'll be curious about others. But when we have that ready and the language ready, where we felt we negotiated as best as possible, we'll bring that back to you, show you what's been done for your consideration.
When does that happen again?
Pretty quickly, and our legal team will be doing that for us. But we're going to pick it up here in the next couple of weeks, as soon as we can get a meeting.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I noticed that we're asking Dominion Energy to use the rights of ways to support Mount Pleasant Way. I've gotten some calls, and I know Chairman Sass has gotten some calls about the red bands around a number of trees on Mathis Ferry Road. Those are the ones I particularly noticed. And do you think this might help with that in terms of using their right-of-way as opposed to the regular right-of-way or sidewalks, if you will, along Mathis Ferry? Because the number of trees that have red bands on them right now is disturbing to me when I saw it. And obviously it's getting disturbing to our constituents as well. And first thing I heard was, are we cutting down all those trees with red flags on them on Mathis Ferry Road? I said, no, I don't think so. But I'll keep up the asking about what exactly it means. And the answer I've gotten from transportation is it's simply flagging the trees that are that have been shown in the surveys that were being made. And that's what I provided to Chairman Sass as the reason, not that the trees are going to be cut down, but by the same token, anything we can do to give us some more room, I'm in favor of, and that's why I just picked on this use of existing Dominion energy right away, because I can't see, now that we've just got everything cleared with DOT on the fact that we'll continue the historic preservation of both Mathis Ferry and Long Point Road. So, at any rate, I'm really supportive of this use of their right-of-way as well.
So it was just an update.
Okay.
And, we'll bring it back.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything further? All right. With that, we will stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.